You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Walking this talk together.
Every hour.
Every day. This is 702.
Let's walk the talk.
We discuss matters parenting and parents, and Josh Ramsey is the co-founder of beintouch.org.za, here to help us with the 8 steps to family digital well-being. Josh, good afternoon, and thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Hi, Africa. Thank you so much for having me. I feel like we need to work on that intro, because if I had naked scientists somewhere in mind, I'm sure there would be a lot more interest in what we talk about today. But I'm really grateful for the opportunity to again speak to parents about technology and how they can keep their kids safer and saner online.
Because it is a challenge for us parents, right? When we grew up, when we were children, we didn't have access to as much technology as our children have now. Often I'm overwhelmed by what my 8-year-old nephew has access to, that I don't even know how to help him navigate what is safe, what is not, and so forth and so forth.
Absolutely. And I think the big piece here is for parents to just put the shame train aside. It's not about, woe is me, I'm a bad parent because I don't know what to do. It's exactly as you described. They just don't have the experience. We don't have the experience. And it's the first generation of children that are growing up with, you know, the equivalent of a supercomputer in their pockets from the age of 9, 8, sometimes even younger. So it's okay that parents don't know what to do, but it's not okay that they don't do anything. And that's what we're here to talk about.
Exactly. The first one makes sense. All parents need to be mindful of the amount of time they allow their children to be staring at a screen.
Yes. And I think this also just speaks to the fact that one of the big challenges we see in managing screen time is it's not just about how much, it's also of what and with whom are you connecting on that screen. So, you know, it's not the same if you spend 30 minutes learning about science and how you can, you know, make popcorn in a microwave. That's not the same as getting mindlessly lost in TikTok or, you know, communicating with adults that you haven't been, you know, your parents don't know about online. So being mindful of how they're using their screen time and what it's costing them. And this is a big one. You know, this time that we spend on our devices as children specifically is time not given to skill development, to play, to exploration out in the world. So we've got to think about what it's costing them. And we like to talk about a wheel of life where you help your child plan out all the things they want to do in a day so that they can actually understand that you're not saying no screen time at all, because children have to be able to use technology, but what does it cost them? So that's why number one is be mindful of screen time.
How much of this is negotiated with your children and how much of it is dictated?
Absolutely. Good question. I think that takes us into step two quite nicely. And step two is agreeing family tech rules. So generally what we see is that if there's no relationship with your child, then regulation becomes a very big challenge. If there's only correction without any connection, then you're going to be fighting a losing battle. And we've seen what happens when you just put down rules without explaining them. And at the core of this, we're wanting children to not be abused or disabused by the technology that they use. They don't want to be taken advantage of. So it's more about helping them explain that they need to use tech for how they want to live their lives, because tech wants them to use them in a certain way. So the younger the child, the more, you know, prescriptive you can be. And if your child is really struggling with this kind of thing by the time they're 16, 17, you know, it's almost too late, but not to say you shouldn't do anything. But it's very important to understand that your children can't base how they use technology on how they feel, because it makes them feel very positive. But it's only after a amount of time that that impact starts to be quite negative. So I think it's a balance between the two. You know, what age is your child? What is their personal maturity level and how responsible they are? But the big piece here with the family tech rules is helping your children understand that when they make a choice, there is a consequence, and that consequence can be more freedom or less freedom, but it's your job as a parent to hold those consequences to them, because unfortunately we're seeing children get older and older without any consequences of poor decisions, and then when they get to 16, 17, they can't actually handle it by themselves.
Which I suppose leads us to the third step, which is you as the adult modeling good digital habits, which might be a trick given the last 2 years and the expectation on parents to be doing more and more work from home, which requires endless Zoom meetings and all those other things that we've come to love and endure in the last two years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, just to use that example from the airplane industry, that you need to put on your mask first. You can't save someone from drowning if you're drowning. And it really starts, you know, we make a very easy recommendation to use screen time or digital well-being, depending if you're iOS or Android, to get some insight into your own habits. So you can start seeing, how am I using technology? How am I spending my time? And then it means that you can more authentically tell your children about what you think that they should do. So definitely getting some handle on how you're using technology. And a big piece here is because at the base of all of this, it's critical thinking, right? It's helping your child make a critical decision about how they use technology. So if you're using technology, help them to understand why. You know, your child is not thinking that you're playing Minecraft or playing some computer game. You can say, I'm in a meeting, I'm working, and this is what daddy and mommy does for a living, and this is how I pay your school fees, and that's why I'm using technology. I'm not just having fun over here. So we talk to parents about helping their children understand the difference between fun and functional screen time. But it is a challenge indeed.
The fourth one also makes sense because we do it with television and all sorts of other things, but we need to install parental controls into any devices that our children have access to, correct?
This is absolutely foundational to being a parent in 2022. We have to understand that the technology that we use has been designed by adults for adults and is now being put in the hands of children. These are not devices or service or products that are created by, you know, developmental psychologists or educators or pediatricians or anything like that. So we have to set them up correctly. And so parental controls are an absolute no-brainer. You have to understand that when you give your child access to the whole Internet of Things, you give the Internet of Things access to your child. We love two of them, Bark and Griffin. Griffin is great for a home that has a lot of smart devices, not only mobile. Bark is great for kids that have social media accounts and you're worried about what they're seeing on there and you want to talk to them about it. There, of course, are free versions, but I'll turn it around to all our listeners like this. If you're spending more on Netflix and other entertainment than you are on parental controls for your children, then we've got something to talk about.
We certainly do. Step number five, we need to understand age restrictions.
Absolutely. And this comes back to the idea that so many of the choices we make about how appropriate something is for our child is not based on a reputable source. Very often it just says, well, what are your friends doing? Or it says, well, what are my friends doing? But everyone is kind of running around in the dark here. And, you know, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. And so there are simple ways in which you can get real information about what the appropriate age restriction is. You cannot rely on the app stores. They are not set up by a developmental psychologist, as I said, or anyone that has your child's best interests at heart. They are set up by the app developers themselves. And what we know about them, they're trying to lower that bar of access as low as possible to get as much data as possible to sell advertising. So what do? You go to commonsensemedia.org, fantastic website that gives you a whole bunch of insights into every app you can think of, every movie, every series, gives you little excerpts from it so that you can talk to your child about it. And it gives you a real age rating. That's the key to this piece. What is the real age rating?
Common Sense Media is the thing to note down, of course, from that. Number six, change your settings.
Yep, this speaks to the fact that we've discussed already that these are adult devices created by adults for adults. If you are not able to go in and change the app settings or at very least the device settings, then it means that this device is assuming that your child is an adult, is going to create public accounts for them, is going to be handing their data over. So you have to take the initiative and set up those apps and devices appropriately. Very, very important. And just to say that if anyone is interested in what we're talking about today, we have created a whole PDF ebook on this, and we are going to give it away to everyone that goes onto our Facebook page and leaves us a review of how we're doing. And we will track you down and we will send you one of these absolutely free. So don't feel like you have to run around and make a note of everything, but changing settings, very, very important. And it can start with just a Google. How do I lock down Instagram? How do I change the App Store age on my child's device? And somebody's made a tutorial, I promise.
No doubt. Do people search for Be In Touch on Facebook in order for them to review the app and get it down for free?
Yes. Absolutely. So if they just go on to Be In Touch or at beintouch.org.za on Facebook, leave us a review there and then we will find you and we will send you a PDF with this full guide that we normally only give away in a coaching conversation. But we're going to do it for your listeners today because we love doing this work.
You are generous. Six down, two more steps to go. Let me invite listeners on 011-883-0702. If you are grappling with any of this, where you've got a young child who is hungry for more screen time and wants to consume a lot more digital ware, how are you navigating it in your household? How can Josh perhaps help in giving advice of how you as a parent can empower the child, because that's important, but not lose the sense of control that you need to have as a parent over obviously the well-being of your child. I do already have a WhatsApp question which we'll bring to you now, Josh, so you can send more of those to 072-702-1702. The seventh and penultimate one is no passwords and check up.
Absolutely. We have to know that. And this is something that parents really struggle with, and they need to just get past it, in my perspective. They need to understand that safety is primary to privacy. So parents will say that I don't want to override my child's privacy, but we have to remember that there's no privacy online, really. And if you are worried about your child, you need to be focused on their safety more than their privacy. Obviously, this is a sliding scale. Children of different ages, different maturities. There's no one size fits all. But we would recommend that when you give a smart device to your child, it is as a loan. You loan it. The child does not own it. And that smartphone comes with a contract where you've decided how it's going to be used, what the rules of use are, and what the consequences will be if they don't keep them.
The best line I've heard on one of the shows some years ago, no one is entitled to secrets, but everyone is entitled to privacy. And it's almost always a very delicate line to navigate. But my 8-year-old, my 9-year-old absolutely will give me access to everything that they access. There is no question about it. Which leads us to the final one, Josh, which is inviting you as parents or caregivers to join your kids and their online world.
Absolutely. You know, I think there's a very powerful statement that comes from one of our partners. It's that same parental control initiative, BARC, that I mentioned earlier. And it comes from Titania Jordan, one of the senior leaders there. And here's the statement. If you do not know what is going on in your child's digital world, chances are you don't know what's going on in their world at all. We have to understand that our children live online. They don't go online. And so if you're not aware of what they like when they're online, what they play, who they play with, you are missing out on your child's world. So we talk about getting involved in that online world without embarrassing them, asking them better questions. Can you teach me how Instagram works? Can you teach me why you like Minecraft so much? Can we play this together? Can we watch this together? I want your opinion on it. Or even just asking them, what's the craziest thing you've seen online lately? And not making crazy this very bad thing that you're trying to catch them out. Because remember, if the only time you talk to your child about their online world is when you're complaining about how they're using it, they're not going to talk to you about their online world at all. So, you know, join into their world, ask them about what's happening, watch videos together, play with technology together, and let it be part of your parenting. Let it be part of you inviting them to think critically about how they're using technology.
I think it's a wonderful, wonderful tool. Be in touch. Device Advice Guide is what we're talking about. 8 practical steps that will help you and your family as far as digital well-being is concerned. My guest is the co-founder of beintouch.org.za. That's Josh Ramsey. He's here for another 8 minutes to answer all of your questions pertaining to this wonderfully challenging subject. We already have a voice note question or two, but you can call me on 011-883-0702. Reflect on your experience with your child and your journey, and who knows, Josh might be able to give some advice in terms of how it can be improved. It's
watch with a free trial at BritBox.com.
Walking the talk.
This is 702.
702.
25 after 2, Josh Ramsey from beintouch.org.za is joining us. And Josh, here's your question on children and apps.
Hi, Africa. I've got a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old who have gadgets that connect to the internet. I do monitor their internet usage and the websites they go into, but I am not able to go into the apps that they go into in order to monitor what they are doing in there. Is there any way I would be able to monitor an in-app activity so that I don't end up with kids who are exposed to things that they're not supposed to be exposed to at this early age?
Important question, Josh.
Absolutely important question, and so wonderful to speak or hear from an active digital parent. So there are a few variables that I don't know about what's going on here. It could be Android or it could be iOS. If it's iOS, you want to be using the in-app, well, the in-phone options that you have. So screen time would be an option that can be explored. But again, because we don't know the context of the Android or app or iOS, I would say absolutely use something like Bark. Bark is fantastic because it actually plugs into the apps themselves as opposed to just the device. So it doesn't matter where that child is accessing their account from, there will be notifications going to the mom or the dad if something untoward is happening. And again, what's great about Bark is that it gives you ways in which you can talk to your child about what's going on. So yeah, without knowing too much more, I would say a blanket solution would be Bark. Otherwise, just physically checking, you know, getting that phone when they hand them in at night and making sure this is a very, very big one. No child needs to have a device connected to the internet in their bedrooms at night. So we do talks in schools and collect survey data on what children are struggling with. And we see that the vast majority of cyberbullying as well as stranger contact is happening late at night with children have access to those devices that have access to the internet, and there's no parental controls on the device. So fantastic work out there, mum. Keep it up. And if you have to, just grab the device. If you can't, use something like Bark.
Because, and this was the second part to her question, I suppose, she is happy to monitor how much time the child is spending on the various devices. But what she wants to be able to do is if they click on a particular app, she wants to be able to see what they're doing while they're in that app. Is there any tool that parents can use in that?
Yeah, so for that kind of functionality, you are looking into paid for services. You know, the ones that I've mentioned, Google Family Link and Screen Time for iOS are going to give you that insight into what they're doing, but it's not necessarily going to tell you what's going on within the app on that second level. So for that, I would say use Bark. You can check them out at bark.us. Or you could use another router controller called a Griffin router. And then that router would then control any content that's coming into your home and stop certain things from arriving. But without knowing a little bit more about the case, it's hard for me to kind of prescribe something. But I would say check out Bark and check out Griffin routers. And one of those or a combination of the both will definitely put you onto the right track of safety.
My general rule in the household is that no child should be doing in private what they will not be able to do in public. So, be it my nephew or my cousins, if they're in my space, I must be able to look over the shoulder at any point if I choose to. And what they are doing should be legit, for lack of a better word. And that seems to be a rule that works in the household. Of course, they're not my children, so I don't have 24-hour control over them, and I'm not sure what happens when they go to their respective homes. But that's generally a good rule to have in place, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I also just want to take my hat off to you, because it's not only what parents often don't understand is that their child is only as safe as the least informed adult that takes care of that child. So for you as an uncle, that's fantastic that you're doing your bit. But parents need to understand that they have to upskill not only granny and grandpa, but their au pairs, their domestic assistants, everyone that's involved. If your child has access to a device that has access to the internet and there's no oversight, whether it's a parent looking over the shoulder or an au pair or a granny or an uncle, then you have got a problem. I did just want to simplify, because, you know, parents might be feeling a little bit overwhelmed, and we have had some reviews come in on Facebook already that we will send any reviews, our PDF guide that speaks to all of these points and has some more information on Bark and Griffin to anyone that sends a review on Facebook. And on our website, you can actually go and check out the products, where we've got more information on the various things I've spoken about.
And that website address is beintouch.org.za. At beintouch is what you're searching for on Facebook. Review their work and you'll be given this device advice guide. Love it. Kids need help with their online lives. Parents need practical next steps. It really, really is a useful tool. Josh, yeah. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you so, so much, Africa. And thank you for being an epic digital uncle.
I do my best. Josh Ramsey is a co-founder of beintouch.org.